Wake Up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
And there comes a time in life where you think, you know, I'm not going to be here anymore. What's going to happen to everything that I've got, everything that I've accumulated over my years on this planet?
Well, for me, I know the answer is going to go to council cleanup. I think it's
probably... they'll just bulldoze all your stuff out onto the footpath.
They'll just go...
for council collection. No, recently we went, look, we should probably make up a will.
Would you watch one of those ads and you were like finally caving to one of those real life insurance ones or something?
No, I didn't get persuaded by an insurance commercial. We just saw it. We're at that time of our lives. We, you know, probably should have done it sooner, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you go, yeah, because I've always worked under the assumption that, you know, I'm like an Egyptian pharaoh. I could just take it all with me when I'm gone. Just bury me with all my stuff and that way I can... play Call of Duty in the afterlife with Jesus and Buddha and Krishna. You know what I mean? We can get online and fire up the PlayStation, you know, in the afterlife.
I've always lived day to day. I've always just assumed there'll be a cure for death by the time I get old.
Oh, so right.
I've been, you know.
Well, let me cure you of that notion. Everybody dies, pal. And it's one of those things, too, where you start to go, all right, we bought a will kit from the post office.
A legal will kit?
You know, because spare no expense. Mm. And then we sat down and started thinking about what stuff we have. And who does it go to?
Who do you burden with your stuff?
Yeah, emphasis on the word burden. Because it's one of those things like when you're alive, all that stuff that's cluttering up the house or referred to as useless junk when it comes time to move house, that all of a sudden becomes treasured possessions.
Oh, yes, yes, an heirloom.
When you're filling out a will and you're like, well, who am I going to give my five plastic tubs of CDs too when I'm dead? Will they even have CD players by the time I die?
The antiques.
I don't know. So you start figuring out who's going to get your stuff, who's it going to, and then I read in the will, it says, you need to determine who is your executor. And I'm like, what
executor?
Is this the person who pulls the plug? And then I got told, no, that's executor.
They're the person of the will.
They're in charge of determining that the stuff goes to who it's meant for, or the people that have been bequeathed.
Burdened.
That's it. The term's burden or, you know, give. If I give you this pen, here you go, I just gave you a pen.
Thanks.
Now, if I die and give you the pen, I have bequeathed you the pen.
All of a sudden this pen's more, more
it's more special.
More special now because it's from a dead person.
It has extra significance because you have been bequeathed it. I don't know why. It's weird. And recently, and you got to get someone to witness the will. So you fill it out. And ours had several typos because we had to cross stuff out. We went, oh, no, we don't want that.
Amendments to the will.
Change it. And then we get to the end and go, oh, someone has to sign this. And when we were recently up in Queensland, we were going to go out to dinner with my friends like the last night we were there. And so we're all planning for a big night of celebration. Oh, before we go, can you just sign my will? They're like, everyone's going, are you all right? And do you need to tell us something? I'm like, No, just want you to sign the will.
I'd rather them sign the will than pay the bill.
That's true.
Getting off light on that one.
This is your last chance to plead your case, though, before we lodge this thing.
All right.
Do you think you're bequeath worthy? Chum on radio?
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like me to bequeath to you?
Well, the CDs would be no good because I've got enough CDs just sitting around in boxes and
old
consoles and stuff. Maybe some old memorabilia so I can look at it occasionally and sigh and go, oh, and then put it back in the box.
Treasured memories. All right, I'll bequeath you something.
Okay, cool.
Because when it comes to the reading of my will, there'll be people turning up to find out what they've been bequeathed. They'll be all my friends and family, and I'm also going to invite my enemies just so the executor of my will can just turn to them and go,
so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
I've stipulated that Wonka must be played.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
News broke last week on A Current Affair that Nick Giannopoulos, Australian comedian, star of Acropolis Now back in the 80s and I think early 90s, I think it went for that long, and also the writer and producer of the Wogboy movies, Wogboy 1 and Wogboy 2, The Kings of Mykonos, is planning a third one, which should come out next year, according to him.
Couldn't believe it. I was just Googling the other day about Wogboy 2. I was like, surely you can't make a third. If the second one didn't make you any money, the second one cost, I think, about $5 million to make, and I think it made around $4 million, so it didn't even make its money back. I'm surprised it made $4 million. Like, you're trotting out the same sort of jokes that worked in the late 1990s, I think it was, when Wogboy came out. I think it was like 98 or something. And you're trying them out in 2010, 11, whenever it was, the same jokes. And you're just like, it's kind of sad.
And as you mentioned, Vince Colosimo is coming back. Yeah. I think this might be part of his community service for owning some illicit substances a little while back. But, I mean, I don't even know if you can call it Wogboy in the current political
ethnic man three climate. Is what we're calling it. I don't know.
I don't know, but good luck to Nick. Hopefully it does well. You know, we need more Aussie-made films. Not sure if we need more Aussie-made films like this, but hopefully it'll make some money for him. Is it the sequel we asked for? Is it the sequel we need? This is the question we often ask ourselves where we see sequels that are about to come out. Dear. What for you is like a sequel that should never have seen the light of day?
I've got many that shouldn't have seen the light of day, but one of them that I just can't believe it got made was Weekend at Bernie's 2. So Weekend at Bernie's, if you're unaware, it came out in 1989. It's about a boss that gets killed and they fake that he's alive the whole weekend to try and get to the bottom of some sort of murder plot or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember why they're trying to like work him like a puppet for a whole weekend.
And then apparently...
I can't remember. It's been so long.
Yeah, 1989, 1993, they make a sequel 4 years later. Like, he's got to be decomposed by now, sure.
But it follows straight after the events of Weekend at Bernie's 1. So it's okay.
Come on. what is this?
Well, you know me. I'm a big superhero movie fan.
Yeah.
In more recent times, like Wonder Woman 1984, which that I think came out, late last year around December. That was terrible.
I hadn't even seen the first, and I watched that, and I'm like, is this the standard of the other one? The first one that made like $1 billion?
First one is not too bad. But in this one, she learns how to fly. But this is a prequel. So all the other movies, like the Justice League, she's jumping around. And you're like, did you forget how to fly, Wonder Woman? Because in 1984, you learned how to do it. Of course, Batman is, the Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Original Batman with Michael Keaton. That was like my first big superhero movie.
It's like
movie.
Duck, Duck, Goose with those movies.
Oh, I loved Batman. I loved Batman Returns. And then I think in about 1984, we got this sequel.
Courage now. Truth always. Batman forever.
Oh. Val Kilmer, nipples on the bat suit, and other ridiculousness. And I thought, man, that was a terrible sequel. Surely it can't get any worse than that.
Batman and Robin.
Then you had George Clooney return. Putting on the bat suit.
What
for
a
Batman
disaster. They just wanted to sell toys for those movies. Arnold Schwarzenegger got paid like $25 million and was on set for like a couple of hours every day, and that was it. That was in his contract. Like, it was ridiculous.
Just say a nice pun and then return to your trailer, Arnie. You're done for the day. 1-300-92-1250. Movie sequels that should never have been made.
Never seen the light of day.
Boy 3 is in the pipeline. What are some sequels?
Grease 2.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
Michelle Pfeiffer's great, but even she couldn't save Grease 2. I just can't wait for all those people, because it's been like, a decade or more since he made Wogboy 2, The Kings of Mykonos. I just want all those people to go, I don't know if I can watch the Wogboy 3. Do I have to watch the first two to figure out what's happening with the story? Do I need to catch up? What's happening in the Wogboy's life? We've been talking about bad sequels for Hutsy. Yeah. Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Weekend at Bernie's 2. I'm just going.
Was it Weekend at Bernie's 2 Rigor Mortis? Was that the
should have been
the subtitle of
Worms
that one?
Worms Day Out. Could have been Worms Day
Worms
Out.
Worms Day Out.
But Mortal Kombat Annihilation, RoboCop 3. There's a whole list of just horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Any Big Mama's House in general.
Yeah.
From the first one included.
Whenever one movie does well, they always try to make a sequel
pushing
to
the
cash
friendship.
In on it. We got Chris from Brogo on the phone. Hello, Chris. What was a movie for you? A sequel that should never have been made.
I reckon the first two were great, but Police Academy 3, 4, 5, 9, 12, 18, 90, 16, 9, 105 should never have been made.
Yeah, it kind of fell away a little bit after a while, didn't it? I think the minute they lost Gutenberg, once Steve Gutenberg left, it's like...
Good as.
It was a downhill slide.
Yeah, but apparently they're bringing him back for 195.
Okay.
And that's going to be really good. He's coming back, he's going to have a walker, and he's going to be having a face mask. It's going to be Police Academy 305 COVID patrol, I believe.
All right.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, are they actually bringing the real Gutenberg back, or is it just going to be a CGI one because he's too old and withered now?
Oh, no, it's going to be the whole head in a jar thing for Futurama. It'll be great.
If not, I reckon it'll be, because they're obviously a lot older now, it'll be a nursing home, it'll be residents on patrol.
Oh, can you imagine? The don't do the right thing, get a kerosene bath from Taxberry. Yes. It'd be awesome.
It'd be entertaining, that's for sure. Yeah, the last one was made in 1994. That was Mission to Moscow.
Yeah.
That made less than like about $50,000 or something like that.
Mission to Moscow was a disaster, and I think it set back like U.S. and Russian diplomatic relations by about a decade.
People blame the politicians, but it was that movie, seriously.
Yeah, I think it was.
That's why Putin's got such a bee in his bonnet these days. He hates that movie. Thanks for chatting with us, Chris. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, fellas. See ya.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
What a strange weekend of football. You either had games that were incredibly close or they were absolute blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bulldogs losing 66 points to nil, I think it was, on the week, or 60 points to nil, an absolute shocker on the weekend. But one of the close games, as a matter of fact, was the first game on Friday night. Here I was excited in my little Dragons jumper and my pyjamas on, watching the Dragons taking on the might of the Warriors. So this game, the Dragons were playing absolutely atrociously. Gets towards the end of the game. Corey Norman needs to kick a goal to win the game. Misses the goal. Goes to extra time. And eventually I'm jumping on the lounge because finally they broke through with a 19-18 win when this happened, as a matter of fact.
McCulloch, they come off their line quick. The Warriors, the field goal shot this time is there.
Yeah.
Corey Norman struggling to hit the side of a barn. The goal kicking has kicked the field goal to win it.
Finally, they won the game, as rugby league players like to do. I think they like to celebrate just a little bit. Unfortunately for the Dragons players, they've done the wrong thing while celebrating. 12 St. George Illawarra Dragons players are in a lot of trouble over a potential breach. Well, it's pretty obvious they did breach biosecurity protocols, but they went to the Captain Paul Vaughan's house in Shell Harbour after the game, of course, to celebrate. Unfortunately, Wollongong is part of the Greater Sydney area.
Yeah, they're
These
in lockdown
These guys are in
still.
Lockdown.
Yeah.
So they're all in trouble. I'm talking about, like, the whole starting lineup of the team, 12 players, like Paul Vaughan, Josh Maguire, Jack Bird, Blake Laurie, Corey Norman, who kicked the field goal, Zach Lomax, Matt Dufty, the list goes on.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time the Dragons struggle to breach the top eight, but breaching COVID restrictions, not a trouble in the world.
Absolutely nailed that.
For the Red V.
Yeah, so they'll receive $1,000 fines as well, but what makes
Were they at least going over there to do a bit of TikTok dancing like Nathan Cleary yes. did last year? Did they have a viable excuse for having this, like, holding this gathering and putting people at risk?
If you're going to get the fine, just, you know, go the whole hog. That's it. That's, get something out of it. Go viral or something for a different reason, but these guys are in a lot of trouble. They've all copped the $1,000 fines as well, but not just that. It looks like there could have been a couple of blow-ins as well from somewhere else. Because they're under a COVID biosecurity bubble, they can only hang out with each other. Like, they have to all be within that bubble. Only people that are in that bubble are to hang out with each other.
It's like a cult.
It's like a cult.
The bubble is a cult.
Essentially, it's like a cult.
Outsiders are not permitted.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it looks like after police had to go and knock on their doors, I think it was around yesterday morning, it looks like there could be four men aged around 21, 30, and two aged 24 that could have also been outside the bubble at the party.
Still, I imagine for the coaching staff, it was a relief to get that late night phone call. Like, oh, in trouble with the police. All right, who was it? What did they do? I was just a bubble breach.
Oh
thank God.
Okay.
What
you
a
think
relief.
It's going to be a little bit like that, but unfortunately, Peter Volandis has spoken out about this, and so has Andrew Abdo. And this looks incredibly bad because this has literally put possibly the whole season at risk. Because of these breaches and everything like that as well. So
stupid.
It looks like possibly they could be facing 2 weeks on the sidelines like those Canterbury Bulldogs players.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, 12, that's like the whole starting lineup. So it's going to be the Dapto under-12s running out in a couple of weeks. So it's around 800 to 900 people that are in the bubble, including players and officials, staff, all that sort of stuff. So
you expect that they would make mistakes from time to time, but this is just an outright...
That's an absolute shocker. You know, they've got the bye against breach. They've got the bye this week, the Dragons, but next week they got Manly, so it's not looking too good. It might be a bye for the rest of the season. They're talking about possibly kicking them out of the bubble.
That could be
outside the circle of trust, I guess, but they're just on two different wavelengths, these guys. There's no excuse for it. Like, the Dragons players, this is the wavelength they're on, you know, like after this sort of song, I reckon.
You gotta fight for your right.
Yeah, nice try, guys.
It doesn't
quite work. Just to show the polar opposites as well, these guys are thinking you've got to fight to your right to party. And then the NRL, after seeing all these stories, these 12 players, they're thinking a little bit more like this, I reckon.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Something's come along and it's burst our bubble.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.